Welcome once again, everybody, to Warden Full Gospel Church service, even though it's online. And thank you again, worship team, for a wonderful time of leading us into worship. We're in this series called Influence, and this is the third part of that series. Last week, we ended with the low-card exchange principle, and it's a principle in forensic science that has this very, very simple premise. Every contact leaves a trace. That's the premise of the low-card exchange. In other words, every criminal leaves a trace behind, whether it's fingerprints or footprints, a piece of clothing fiber, hair, a speck of blood. Yet the same principle applies to all human relationship. Every time that two people come in contact with one another, there is an exchange that takes place. Every single contact leaves a trace behind. I can bless a person or I can curse a person. I can extend a hand toward a person or I can withdraw a hand. I can walk towards a relationship or I can walk away from a relationship. I can encourage somebody, or I can simply ignore them. Now, as followers of Jesus, we who call ourselves disciples of Christ, we are here on this earth in a life journey. And throughout this life journey, our purpose is to create influence that will outlast our time, our days on this earth. In other words, there needs to be exchange that happens with every connection that we make with somebody. If you are a person who enjoys watching sports, there's this interesting phenomenon that happens, especially in a very hotly contested contest. I noticed this last week as I was watching the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs football game. In the closing minutes of this particular game, it became very apparent that the Buffalo Bills were going to lose the game. And in this case, as it is in many cases during a game where one team is about to lose, what happens is a player or players on the losing team will get frustrated and they will begin to engage in behavior that is somewhat out of character for them. They will sometimes give a cheap shot with the intent to injure, or their language becomes very foul and colorful towards another person. There is trash talking that becomes extremely animated as they are face to face with one another. And I've heard that sometimes the response of the winning team when these confrontations happen on the playing field is simply scoreboard. That's all they say, scoreboard. And what they're trying to present here is they say scoreboard because it doesn't matter what the other team may say or the other team may do in the process of losing, or how much they even ridicule the winning team or make fun of the players or push and shove physically the other players. The scoreboard is the ultimate end result. The scoreboard reveals the final outcome. You see, winners are not drawn into these altercations because the scoreboard is all that matters. Someone can trash talk all they want, but when the seconds wind down to zero, when the finish line is crossed, or the final out is made, it is the scoreboard that dictates the final outcome. So when we talk about becoming an influence or being an influence in life as Christians, what exactly is it that constitutes a win for us as a follower of Jesus? What is it in our lives that absolutely is the end result? Because you see, as a Christian, the importance of being an influence is not dictated by a have-to mentality. We don't do being a follower of Christ, we don't do that simply out of obligation or tradition or heritage or even guilt. We, as followers of Christ, engage. We desire to be an influence, and that influence should be motivated by a spiritual mindset that all of us have. The spiritual mindset of a Christian, a person who is truly a disciple of Jesus, the mindset that we should have is one that we understand that eternity hangs in the balance for every single person. And you and I, we have a distinct contribution to make in this life to see another person come into a relationship with Christ. We can make a difference with our life. That's the mindset of a follower of Christ. So as we live on this earth, as we journey through life, through this lifelong journey of influence, the Bible compares this journey and compares it to a race. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. The Bible says these words: "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize?" So here's the encouragement to us as followers, as disciples of Jesus. We run to win. We run to win. And what this verse is particularly describing for us, and hear this, that we are to live life in such a way that you cross the finish line, that you come to the end of your life as a winner. We run this race, we live this life in a manner that is productive, that is influential. That means we push through the battles. We are people who overcome fatigue. We are people who engage the challenges, but we have a mindset that we are going to conquer the challenges in order to inherit eternal prize. That's the mindset of a Christian. See, there is this resolve within our life, within our heart, to finish well. Now, the Apostle Paul describes how this is done. How this is done so that we finish well in a very practical sense. How we influence, and in and through our lives, this influential life journey, how we do this well. And he describes this in Philippians chapter 2. What can be done to complete this journey well? And he gives us some very practical advice. And there are two practical ways that identify this quest that we should have to be a person of influence. The first one is this: that we should choose service over selfishness. Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Look at these words. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Now let's stop here for a moment and let's look at this verse. This verse, verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, underscores our relationship with Jesus. These questions that the Apostle Paul asks are questions that are the starting point of mine and your engagement with Jesus. These questions are foundational to our relationship with Christ. Because if you answer no to these questions, then there is going to be a struggle, internal struggle, in your life in formulating a relationship with Jesus and having a practical outworking of his grace in your life. But if you answer yes to these questions, if you say yes to having encouragement from belonging to Christ, if you say yes to receiving comfort from his love, if you experience greater compassion, when you say yes and you experience greater compassion and tenderness towards people, then notice how he goes on to say in verse 2. Look what he says in verse 2 of Philippians chapter 2. Then make me, and Paul is referring to himself there, Make me, Paul says, truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. So when you say yes to the questions in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, then verse 2 and verse 3 happen in your life. And did you notice the description of what this influential life looks like when Jesus is in fact the foundation of your life and Jesus is in fact the focal point of your life from verse 1? Then there is unity. Then there is a process or an engagement of loving one another, of working together with one mind and with one purpose. There is this engagement of agreeing wholeheartedly with one another. It's joining together in the same mission. In other words, our life becomes purposeful. Our life pattern is purposeful, and we begin to think of service and sacrifice as a foundational value to our life. Don't be selfish. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. When Jesus is the very focus of your life, and you've answered yes to the questions of verse 1, then your life becomes one of thinking of others as better than yourself. Now, these verses are so counter-cultural in the day and age in which we live in now. You see, the mindset of our culture and of our society is that it is very much an individualistic, driven culture. My pursuits, my needs, my ambition, my desires, my wants, my importance. And when we participate in such thinking where everything revolves around me, our mindset moves from a godly inspired life of service over to selfishness. In other words, it is not about me. And this is what Philippians chapter 2, these three verses that we've read so far, what these verses are trying to tell us is your life is not about you. Your focus should always be on others. The story is told of a 7-year-old boy who's sitting at his desk in school, when unfortunately, all of a sudden, there is a puddle between his feet and the front of his pants are wet. He's embarrassed, and he knows that when the other boys find out, he will never hear the end of it. And certainly when the girls find out, they will never speak to him as long as he lives. And with his head down, on his desk in embarrassment, a classmate named Jimmy just happens to be walking past with a goldfish bowl filled with water. And as he gets to this young lad's seat, he pretends to stumble and he places or he flips that goldfish bowl onto his lap. And all the water spills all over the desk, all over this young boy's clothes and down his pants and on the floor. The teacher rushes out of the classroom to try and find some gym shorts while his pants try to dry out. And when the teacher comes back into the classroom, all the other kids are cleaning up the water around his desk. And now, instead of being the object of ridicule, this young boy who initiated the puddle on the floor is, in fact, the object of sympathy. But as life would have it, the ridicule now is shifted to Jimmy, the boy who is carrying the fishbowl filled with water. He is called names, And as the day progresses, the ridicule towards Jimmy gets worse. And while the first young lad, his sympathy gets better. After school, both of them are standing at the school bus stop. And the boy walks over to Jimmy and he whispers and he says, "Jimmy, why did you do that on purpose? You did that on purpose, didn't you?" And Jimmy whispers back and he said, "There was a time when I wet my pants too." Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Notice these words that the Apostle Paul writes. "Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." While our society would try and convince us otherwise, followers of Jesus, looking to be a person of influence, should always be looking out for the interests and needs of others. Because when we live a life of service to others, as we read just a few moments ago, the Bible says we display humility. And what this verse in Philippians is describing for us is this, that servanthood is the privilege and responsibility of every follower of Jesus. And you see, my friends, this attitude is reflected in the fact that Jesus Christ set the example for how we can be a person of influence. Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 6. Notice these words. "You must have this same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to." Verse 7. "Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." Did you notice the description of Jesus? He left a perfect heaven to come to an imperfect earth. Did you notice the description of Jesus, that he left the splendors of glory in order to be nailed on the cross? There was a time where he occupied the throne over the entire universe, yet he chose to get down and wash the feet of his disciples. He came to touch lepers, and he came to spend time with sinners. So here's the question that we must ask ourselves. If, as followers of Jesus, in this lifelong commitment to him, how or what would I do differently in living this life if I truly viewed servanthood as a privilege and responsibility? How would I live life differently to exemplify what Jesus portrayed? If servanthood is truly the privilege and responsibility of every disciple of Jesus, how then would I or should I live my life where it would be truly viewed that I am a servant? Now, I have to be honest with you that personally, I have to admit that this is incredibly difficult at times. That selfishness part that I feel is a part of all of our lives is right there, always close to the surface, to dictate and to dominate my life. To be honest with you, and I don't think I am any different than many of you, that it is difficult at times to live a life where we are truly servants to those around us. I remember just before COVID, this COVID pandemic, I remember going into a fast food establishment, and as I was pulling into the parking lot, I noticed a bus had just parked, and a large group of people were unloading from this bus and walking to the same establishment that I was going to. And all I could think of as I'm parking my vehicle, all I could think of was, how can I beat these people to the door? I've got to get in before this large group of people from the bus get into this establishment, because if I don't, then I will be standing in a line for 30 minutes or more. And I certainly won't get a seat in that restaurant. So I quickly park, and literally I am sprinting across the parking lot. I am maybe not running as fast as I should be, but I'm certainly walking really fast, not trying to make it too obvious that I'm trying to beat this group of people to the door. My only goal at that moment, my only goal was to beat these people to the inside of the restaurant. But what should my Christian attitude, what should have been my Christian influence attitude, what should that have been like? I reach the door first, then I open it for them, and I allow the entire busload of people to wait and to come in, and I wait my turn. That's what the attitude of influence should have been like in my life. Now, you think of that, and it's such a little thing. And I could have, and I should have, and I would have shown a different manner to these people. I should have honored the others above myself. You see, that's what it means to honor others above myself. A friend of mine, George Shumar, and I traveled many times to India. And about 4 or 5 years ago, he was invited to speak at a church in Malayalam, in the language of Kerala. He was invited to speak at a church youth meeting. And when he returned back to our hotel room, I asked him, "What topic did you speak on? What topic did you share with the young people of this congregation?" And he told me that he talked about finding areas of service in the community in order to be an influence to people in the community. Influence them with the gospel message by doing random acts of kindness and showing the servant heart of Jesus, what it really means to be true followers of Jesus. Now, that happened many years ago, and he hadn't heard anything for a while since that time. And just recently, a few months ago, some of the people contacted him. Some of the people within that group that he had spoken to years ago connected with him. And they told him that they still remembered that message that he had talked about. And they told him what they had done with that message. And they said that this message of being a servant heart, as followers of Jesus, doing random acts of kindness, that message had really impacted their life. And this is what they did. They had found a medical clinic, a hospital in a predominantly Hindu community, a medical clinic that was run down and filthy dirty. And what they decided to do as a group, a youth, young adults group, youth group, they decided that they were going to wash and clean the building. They were going to wash the laundry. They were going to sweep the floors and sanitize the building. They repaired and cleaned things that were broken. They painted the entire facility inside and out. They took the broken windows and replaced them. And what that action did was it elevated the testimony of not only the church, it elevated the Christian testimony and witness and influence simply because there was a group of people who decided to become servants to those in need within the community. Now, this verse that we just read, these verses from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, describe for us who Jesus was. He was a humble, sacrificial servant, and even though he was God, the creator of the universe, The Bible described for us that he gave himself up so that others could live. He put his own life on the line so that we could keep our life. He showed us by example what it truly means to be a servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." A friend of ours, Bill Howell, who spoke at Warden Full Gospel Assembly a couple of years ago and does mission work among the Roma in Eastern Europe, he spoke here at a church and he told me the story of a friend of his son's who had recently become a follower of Christ, a Christian. Bill met this young man at a social event and he was intrigued by the amount of tattoos that this young man had on his left arm and on his right arm. Colorful pictures, dramatic looking tattoos that consumed both of his arms. And this young man, when asked about these tattoos, this young man described that the tattoos were his life story. A life story of how he became a Christian. In fact, it started with the Garden of Eden, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and how sin had dominated his life and the chaos of his world and how he had become a Christian. The stories were depicted through tattoos on his arms. And Bill Howell said to me that this young man said to him, "It reminds me every time that I look at these tattoos of what Christ did for me on the cross." And he says, "When somebody asks or makes a comment about these depictions on my arms, it gives me an opportunity to share the gospel message with them through pictures that are located on my arm. I can share the gospel message of salvation located from my arms." Now, I'm not recommending that that's a great way of testifying about the good news of Jesus, but for this young man, it was his mission in life to display the message of the cross through tattoos. Listen, whatever methodologies we use, listen, we have an opportunity to serve. However we serve, when we serve, we want people to see the cross of Christ displayed. The greatest exchange that can take place in our life journey, the greatest benefit that happens in our life, in our life journey, the greatest opportunity of influence is when we serve, we can point people to Jesus Christ. Yet in our carnal culture right now, people may not want to listen to the doctrine of the church. In our culture right now, they may not care about the traditions of the church or even want to sing the songs that we sing at church. But can I tell you, there's one thing that the world cannot ignore. The world cannot ignore the unselfish love that is demonstrated by followers of Jesus Christ. And so wherever God has planted you, wherever he places you, wherever you go, wherever you work, whatever you do, is an opportunity to be an influence and to share Christ's love as a servant. Here's the second practical way that Paul identifies our quest to be an influence. He says in verse 8 and verse 9 following, that we need to choose Jesus over our worldly mindsets. Now, this point could probably be best described as a reminder to us of our faith. Because if the story of Jesus stopped with verse 8, where Jesus died a criminal's death on the cross, the story, our story, would be one of hopelessness. Why would anyone follow Jesus if the story ended with him remaining in the grave? Why would anyone want to follow Jesus if the story ended with his death? But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it provides the conclusion, the culmination, and propels our faith in Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, God elevated him to a place of high honor and gave him the name above all other names. That in the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, when you look at these verses remind us that when Jesus finished his sacrificial work on the cross, it did not end. It was not ended by him to remain in the grave. The description here in these verses describes for us an incredibly victorious Lord over death, a victorious Lord over hell and the grave. And the final script is yet to be written. So when we follow this victorious Lord, and we follow in his footsteps, and we serve people that are all around us, when we do that, listen, we strike against the efforts of Satan in the world. These verses should remind us, and do remind us. They are a reminder that all of us, none of us, can stop the Lord Almighty. And no matter how insignificant we feel, we might feel in whatever we do, because we serve an almighty God who raised Jesus from the dead, whatever insignificant act or deed that we do can have a tremendous impact in the world around us, because we serve a risen Savior and risen Lord. At Christmas, there was an opportunity where the Salvation Army was asking for help in manning the red kettle in front of establishment and malls. And a young mother came to me and said, you know, this is something my two young children and I are thinking about doing because we can sacrifice an hour in our week. And when we sacrifice an hour in a week, the amount of money that we collect within that hour, we can eliminate hunger for 13 people this next year. That's an insignificant amount of time to sacrifice, and yet God can take that time and impact 13 people that may have gone hungry this year. Listen, whatever we do in our service, whatever we do in volunteering, whether you sing, whether you greet, whether you help clean up after an event, whether you work in the nursery or do kids ministry or assist people in the parking lot, whether you even open the door for someone or you meet somebody and you have a coffee with somebody, or you participate in an online group and you provide encouragement, or you take time, even in the chat right now, to pray for somebody. To you, it may seem as insignificant. It may even seem very impersonable. But can I tell you that whatever you give to God, and whatever you relinquish, whatever you do, as insignificant as it may seem to you, God will take whatever you give him, and when you relinquish, and when you use it, and when you sacrifice your time and energy and effort and resources, territory for the kingdom of God is gained. There is an exchange that takes place. And you hold back the influx and the influence of another kingdom, a dark kingdom, simply by relinquishing your efforts and your time in sacrificial service, you expand and you see the kingdom of God gain. Because you see, and here's the reminder, and here's the perspective that we need to maintain. All of us need to realize this, that one day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in the meantime, we want as many people to come into a loving relationship with our Lord and to know the sacrifice that Jesus paid and eliminated all the sinfulness, all the crud that any of us have ever done. That is the purpose. That is our driven focus, to see multitudes of people come to know Christ. When we take the focus off of ourselves and we choose Jesus, something happens. People get a glimpse of the one in us. People get a glimpse of the one in us to whom every person will one day bow to. Notice what it says in Matthew 25, verse 35 through verse 40. Notice these words. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Lord, how is this so? This is so insignificant. Or a stranger to show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, verse 40, oh, I like these words. And I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So whatever it is, however insignificant it may seem to you, whatever act of kindness that you engage in, there's an exchange that begins to take place, and people begin to see a little glimpse of who Jesus is in our lives. Can I encourage you today, before it's too late? All of us have to decide, either before Christ returns or before we take our last breath, all of us have to decide as to whether or not we will put aside our pride in order to point others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through kind acts of service, simple acts of influence. And through these simple acts, as insignificant as they may be, as sacrificial as they may be, whenever I have the opportunity to point to the one whose name is above every name, whenever I have an opportunity to point people to Jesus Christ, is an opportunity for the kingdom of God to grow simply because I was willing to engage. Today, can I encourage you to make it a point in your life to at least think about, perhaps even pray about, and answer this simple question that I close with today? Can you take just a moment to think and to pray and answer this question? And the question is this, and I leave you with these words. How can I be the fragrance of Christ and somehow influence people with the love of Christ? That's the question all of us need to answer. And that's the question I leave with you today to think about, to pray about, and to answer. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, You give us opportunities. You give us moments, distinct times where we can take simple acts of service, simply gifts that you have deposited in us to share with other people. May we recognize the significance we play wherever we go as followers of Jesus. May we recognize whatever we say, whatever we do, whatever acts of kindness we participate in, whatever we leave, there's an exchange that happens. And when that exchange happens, Lord, may we recognize that the kingdom of darkness is held at bay and the kingdom of God begins to grow and to expand. May we be kingdom builders for your glory and your honor, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. I hope this message was significant and powerful to you and it does something in your spirit. Begin to open and allow the Holy Spirit to open the eyes, the physical eyes, so that we can see the influence that we can have on the world around us, the people around us. And let an exchange happen. Give up something, sacrifice something for the honor and glory of your Savior and your Lord. Will you do that? Even in the midst of this COVID pandemic, let's think of ways of how we can reach out to people and show the love of Christ. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you again next week. And go forward with the Lord and do something significant for Him. In Jesus' name, amen.